Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. If you'd open your bulletins, quite a bit going on in the bulletin. There's a Christmas Child, Operation Christmas Child brochure in there, talking about Christmas Child. On the back, it tells you what label to put on the shoebox, whether you're doing for a young lady or a young man. This is also Bethel College Day. There's a brochure in there or a pamphlet on the Bethel College. Kitchen committee, 10 o'clock this morning in the kitchen. And we need to talk about a couple of things. Next Friday night is the preview for the bazaar. And then Saturday is the bazaar. Starts at 8 and ends at 4. So anything else on that we need?
We have 26 vendors coming in.
Okay. We're going to be busy. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll point out on the operation, the shoebox are doing Wednesday night. This is like the last Sunday to drop them. I'm thinking, some people may think they should, but Brian needs to take them to their next drop off point. Or you can mail them directly yourself, but if you want hard to take and deliver them yourself, that drop off, that's supposed to be the 21st. But with the bazaar, she's going to take them Thursday, so you can get a copy.
Okay. Anything else from anyone?
Okay. Right. Next Sunday is Friend Day. I'm trusting that we have many of us invited a friend, maybe all of us. We've encouraged it. We've been kind of high key one Sunday and low key the other Sunday on it. We have had some real blessings with Friend Day, and some of our workingest people, that's a good way to put it, came to us first on Friend Day. And if you will bring a friend, we would think that it would be a blessing to the church, but it would be a blessing to that friend. And look for unchurched people. And if you don't have one, you've still got a week to make a friend. Bethel College Day is today. It happens to be the place I went to school 3 years. And then Cody went yesterday to check it out. Cody Duncan, I don't know what they offered him, but they had a good day. And the college is at a high point in its ministry right now. And probably the highest point that it's been in, since its inception in 1842. So read about it, and you'll be hearing more about Bethel College in the coming months and years. The big thing was that they beat Lambeth. Lambeth is the Methodist school in Jackson, and they had beat Lambeth in a ball game, and they were rejoicing. Even the alumni were rejoicing.
Anyone else? Any first-time visitors? I don't see anybody. Any additions in relation to the prayer list?
My aunt Ruth Nash, she's in her late 70s, kind of fall over with rehabilitation since she's back home, but now apparently she's cured of other problems. So she's in chronic pain, and the doctor has decided she may have to live with it.
Okay. Anyone else? If we take the time to bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is responsive. We shall dwell in the house forever, O God, and seek to live upright and blameless lives in Christ Jesus, our guide.
Come, dwell with us. Hear our glad praises as we enter your sanctuary. You are worthy of all glory your children can bring.
Good morning. Let's stand and turn to page 17. I may know this when she plays it, but right now I'm not sure I do. So you have the blind leading the blind this morning. So sing loud.
Sons of God, your master proclaim and publish abroad his wonderful name, the name all victorious of Jesus extol. His kingdom is glorious, he rules over all. Ruleth on high, almighty to save, and still he is nigh, his presence we have. The great congregation his triumph shall sing, ascribing salvation to Jesus our King. Salvation to God, who sits on the throne. Let all cry aloud and honor the Son. The praises of Jesus the angels proclaim, down on their faces and worship the Lamb. Then let us adore and give him his right, all glory and power, all wisdom and might, all honor and blessing with angels above, and thanks never ceasing, and infinite love.
Let us bow for prayer. And you might use that song, or the words to that song, as a guide to prayer. Charles Wesley wrote it for us. We're servants of God, and we have been called to proclaim Him as our Master. Lift up the name, publish it abroad, the name of Jesus. One songwriter took from the Scriptures the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Lord God, we come into your holy place today. Lord, your presence makes it holy, your special presence. Lord, we recognize that you're everywhere, but you have called your people to come apart from the world, to assemble together, to come before your table and be fed there, to open your word and be fed there. Lord, you've called us to praise and offer glory to you. You've called us to offer thanksgiving to you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And we come to do that this morning. We come to this glory in you, and that you would come to visit with us, and that we have the opportunity to come apart from the world and be prepared to go back into the world as better people than when we come apart. As witnesses to that world,
as salt and light. Lord, help us this day that we can center our thoughts on You and offer blessing to You. And we know, Lord, when we do that, we are truly blessed. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Time to express our faith in God by saying the Apostles' Creed in unison. You can open your hymnals, or I think they'll be on the wall. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
If you'll turn to 448, this is a wonderful old song of the church, A Charge to Keep I Have. It's short. Let's sing all four verses.
A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my power engage to do my Master's arm me with watchful care, as in Thy sight to live. And now Thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray, and still on Thee rely. Oh, let me not my trust betray, but press to realms on high.
Get over your bulletins. It's time in the service to confess our sins. Call to confession, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. People confessing, in unison. God, all people,
hear our confession and forgive our sin.
Jesus came to reconcile our differences.
Yet your people do not dine at one common table. Hear our divisions and enable us to overcome our hostility. Unite us in the bond of your encompassing love.
If you'd bow your head and confess your sins silently. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." Amen. Our offertory sentence this morning is, "For God's love, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." The ushers, please come forward.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke 17, 7-10. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"? Would he not rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink"? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
If you follow your outline, if you find the line that begins, some would present Jesus, if you'll move that one down, lower than that space, possibly after in the servant role. Maybe you can follow me. Hard scriptures. Occasionally, quite often, you will read or I will read a commentary on some passage of Scripture. Some knowledgeable person, some great student of the Word has written what he felt that God revealed to him concerning a passage of Scripture. And quite often the writer will say, this is a difficult passage. Well, this passage to me is a difficult passage. But it's one of the parables. And if we're going to preach the Bible, we cannot just take the easy passages or those that, you know, fall out in front of us, point one, point two, point three. And conclusion. Introduction, 3 points, and a conclusion with 3 illustrations thrown in. And those are easy to preach, in many cases at least. But this one is not so easy. So pray, if you will, that God will give us the message that He would like for us to have from this passage. What do you want to be when you grow up? Mr. Thompson, you're probably the senior member present this morning. What do you want to be when you grow up? Do you know what you want to be when you grow up yet? All right. Couldn't be a better answer, and I did not even prime him for that one. What do you want to be when you grow up? Who wants to claim to be the next in age? Descending. The answer is, if you ask a young person or a middle-aged person that hasn't really grown up, they range far and wide. One will say, I want to be a doctor. Another will say, I want to be a lawyer. The favorite for young children, boys especially, is a fireman or a policeman. I don't know if it's because of the uniform they wear or what, the fireman and the policeman, but many, many children want to be firemen or policemen. Have you? Maybe that was your goal somewhere along the way. And Jeff, maybe that was your reason for becoming a fireman. As a 5-year-old, did you think that would be a good thing to be? Jeff was a fireman for a period of time. Still remember Cody, he's going to searching colleges for football opportunities. And 3 or 4 years ago, I guess you were still in middle school, you could ask Cody what he wanted to be. He said, I want to be a professional football player. And don't know if he still has that goal, but keep at it. We never know. Okay. Some people want to be football players. Some people want to be preachers. Some people want to be nurses, a teacher, a banker, an accountant, a garbage man. Have you ever heard one child at 5-year-old say that they want to be a garbage man? Now, do you know? It's necessary. Without them, we're in a mess, literally. We would be living in a mess of garbage. Pete and I, and who else has been from this group to the garbage dump recently, 2 or 3 times, and it's a mess. But that would all be around us without such a place as a garbage dump. All of these are servant roles. Think about them. Every one that I mentioned
is a servant role, or a servant opportunity, if you will. They're all helping people jobs. Jobs where we help people. Every one of them. Leanne Graham, young fireman at the fire department and part-time a part of this church, had a little article in the paper this week from the fire department. Did you read what she said? She got satisfaction, I believe, if I would quote her right. She says, "I get satisfaction out of helping others." And certainly the firemen here in this community go as a servant without pay, volunteer. And Diane's the mother, but the father and the brother and the other sister have been part of the fire department. Would you guess that most people do get satisfaction out of helping others? Or have you ever helped someone and said afterward, "I just hate that. I just hate to help other people"? Now, sometimes their reaction will cause you to question why you would even do it. But that's their problem. That's not the helper problem. Last week, Jessica spoke, and thank you, Jessica, spoke of serving others being one of the things that we can do to make God happy. Is that right? Praying was one, and helping others was another. Two more. Do you remember the other two? Well, that's a bad question to ask. I won't put you on the spot. What makes God happy? And serving others is one of the things that make God happy. The scripture passage was John chapter 13. And that's the passage where Jesus gathers with the disciples the night before he was betrayed in the upper room. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about him serving communion, or instituting the sacrament of Holy Communion. They met to eat the Passover. But John talks about the foot washing experience, where Jesus became as a servant to wash the feet of his disciples. And we have that exchange between Jesus and the Apostle Peter, who was a scared disciple at that time. And a beautiful story and a great example Jesus has set for us. I like the servant role sometimes. Sometimes I'm not so happy with it. I like the servant role under certain conditions, and I like to be a servant when I think the conditions are right. The scripture today is about a servant role. Us being servants in God's kingdom. Jesus didn't just talk in this passage about servants. It's not one of those that you have to pick out and search for and keep on looking for to find his reference to servant or being a servant. He spoke often of being a servant. The master left his servant in charge of some money. A master left his servant in charge of his vineyard. A master left his servant in charge of his land. Review the Gospels and read about being a servant and the many parables that Jesus used where he described the servant or put us, disciples, in the servant role. When I don't like to be a servant is when the person I am serving is a demanding person. And just recently, Pam Camus and I and a few more were working on finding a lady a place to stay, and I saved the voicemail message where she called me. And we had worked for 2 days
Bill Simpson and I to get a place for her to stay. And then we gave up on that for financial reasons. It was going to cost us more to use it than it would be than we could afford. We could find a better place to stay. But anyhow, she called me up and she says, just forget all that you're doing. I don't want that trailer. And I need to get in a place to be real quick. And I'm tired of being worried about this. And you know, I didn't respond to that very well. And I said, ma'am, called her back and I said, ma'am, you don't badger me. I'm not badgering you. Well, it sounds like that to me. That's the way I interpret it. So there are times that I cannot claim to be enjoying the servant role. But most of the time, I think I do. Most of the time. If people are nice to me. So is that wrong? Where am I wrong there? I think I need to be more submissive to demanding people. But even Pam and I agreed that we need to get over that. But we did provide her a place to stay, even 3 weeks. And then, anyhow, so the church did. You did. You didn't know that, did you? When you're wondering about mission work that we're doing, we don't tell everything that we're doing, and maybe we ought to. But we kept a lady, provided her housing, Carol Simpson, the Bennetts, and then the youth group of the church provided her a place to stay. Even if she did fuss at me. And we went ahead and did it anyway. But I don't like the servant role when people are so demanding of me. Or if a person is a demanding person that I'm trying to help. I like to make some of the decisions in how I'm going to serve. And I've said that more times than one. And I'm not sure I'm right in that. And if I'm wrong or where I'm wrong, help me get over it. Help me to be more of a servant. But I like being the servant or fulfilling the servant role when I'm not under compulsion to do it. I like to be the servant when I want to be the servant. And most of the time, I want to be a servant or fulfill that role or work in that position. Except when they begin to demand and I back out real quick. So I've probably dwelt on that. I like being a servant when I want to, not because I have to. I like being a servant because I can, not because I must or I'm being made be a servant. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning this, and he encouraged us not to do things under compulsion. Well, the scripture passage for our offertory is from 2 Corinthians 9. Is it 8 and 9? Well, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, Paul is writing to the Corinthian Christians, and it's a message to you and I also. He said, let each one do just as he has proposed in his heart. Not grudging or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now this is concerning our giving. And they were taking a collection for a particular cause. And we take many collections for a particular cause. You can give a collection or take an offering or give an offering to Bethel College today if you want to. We don't have an envelope, but most of us use checks here, so you can write for Bethel College down in the memo section, and they'll get it. Because you want to, not because you have to. Not because you are compelled to do it, but because you see it as an opportunity. And I have stressed this over and over in this church. Every time we ask for something, it is really presenting you an opportunity, or presenting me an opportunity to be involved in this particular area of ministry. Some people still think we're demanding, maybe because other churches do demand or other ministries do demand. But please, as long as I am doing the asking, it is an opportunity. And I tried to stress this at the previous church. I never could say, okay, he's giving us another opportunity. It was always, we get so many requests for offerings, and I remember we about every Sunday we'd have a special offering envelope in the bulletin. And I kept saying, it's an opportunity. If you want to give, give, but don't do it because you're compelled to. But my stepfather, bless his heart, he was with us. He was slow with us most of my life, growing up life. But he was slow in getting active in the church. But when he would get active, and he became a believer, a professing believer, and was baptized before he passed away in a good amount of time. Wasn't a deathbed experience, okay? Conversion, okay. So, but if it was, it would have been okay too. But he would go to church, and only he would always put in folding money. But every time they passed the offering plate, he would have to put in something. But it would only be $1. Now, he may have gotten better than that later. But he couldn't stand to sit there and let the plate be passed unless he put in something. Unless he put in something. He would be embarrassed. He felt he was compelled, always felt he was compelled to give something. Well, he wasn't. Every time that offering plate was passed, it was an opportunity. But he never got to the point that he didn't have to feel he had to put in something. But he never, I don't know this, I don't think he ever got past the point of putting a $1 bill in there. He didn't want them to be embarrassed by hearing his chains rattle in the bottom of the offering plate. That's, he can't defend himself now. He's gone. But it was interesting from where I was observing. We'd start the church and he'd say, make sure I got a dollar. You know, he didn't want to put more than that, but he wanted to put something that wouldn't rattle when it hit the plate. Does this passage that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, not under compulsion, he wrote it about giving, but does that have anything to say to us about the servant role? Be a servant. And this is, Sam called me just a few minutes ago, before we got in here, and I said, well, where are you, Sam? I said, are you in Memphis still? No, we came back, but Steve Carden and I are on the way to Mississippi to do some mission work. Where they're going, Nancy? Where are they going? Tylertown or Jackson or somewhere. They're going down. And it's Sam is loving it. He's loving it. And he is not doing it under compulsion. He is doing it because he wants to. He is not doing it to earn his salvation. He is doing it because God has saved him. And he wants to say, thank you. He just wants to help people. He just wants to help people. And you've been there too. The Texas trip this summer. Oh, was it hot there? Yeah. All the other situations that you ran into. Great bus drivers and all of that. But you didn't hear about that story, did you? Okay. We didn't. It was fixed. Because, not you're compelled to, but because you want to. And if you get that spirit of wanting to, I'm convinced it makes all the difference in how we do things. Today's lesson describes, finally get to this hard passage, I've been avoiding it, you can see. It describes the true servant-master relationship. In a true servant-master relationship, as presented here, the servant is just that, a servant. In some passages, call him a slave. Some renderings of this, translations. Some translations translate the word servant as slave. And there are many kind of, there are indentured servants, and then there are lifelong servants, and many kind of servants, especially in the world that Jesus was walking around in and ministering to. And all a servant does, as you read this passage, all that a servant does really is serve. Nobody serves him. He's a servant and he is serving. He serves and he serves and he serves. In an agrarian society or a farming community, and Jesus talked about he goes out and plows. Any of you ever plowed all day, and there were not air-conditioned tractors back then, right?
Pete, you have plowed all day, but it was probably behind or in the cab of an air-conditioned tractor. How many has ever plowed all day behind an oxen? A mule. Mr. Thompson has. He's of that age. When you get plow all day behind a mule or a horse or an oxen, or is one of them just an ox? A team of oxen, I guess. Boy, I should have prepared better this morning, shouldn't I? Now, it's tiring, isn't it? You don't want to come in and then have to prepare supper, too. Right? Real quick, do you? But that's what Jesus talked about. The servant plows all day. He's walked all day long. If you're walking behind the beast of burden that's pulling the plow. So you've plowed all day long. Think about walking 7 or 8 hours, 10 hours maybe. And when you get through and you come in and you put the animal in the stable and you throw a few ears of corn to the animal, and then you got to go in and prepare supper for your master. And Jesus says the servant doesn't come in and sit down and the master get up and serve him. The servant comes in and continues to serve. So it's plowing in the field, and that's followed by preparing the meal, and then the master won't even come and serve himself. Wow. The servant has to serve the meal that he has prepared after plowing all day. Work, work, work. Only then is he allowed, or is it right for him to prepare his own meal. And Jesus says, when the servant's done all that, all he's done is his duty. He really deserves no thank yous. He deserves no pats on the back. He deserves no accolades. One of the things that happened at Bethel College yesterday with the homecoming, and they recognized 4 people and deserving people, and then the athletes, they had their own little banquet, and they recognized a number of people. I'm not sure how many they recognized, but people who had done well after college. One of them, you'll recognize the name, Ronnie Carter from TSAA, or however you say those letters, the director of there. And they didn't expect this, though. They didn't do it for recognition, but they got recognition anyway. But Jesus said they didn't really deserve it. But in Christian fellowship, we recognize people who have done great. But when you've served and you've only done your duty, and when this servant had served like this, sometimes church people forget that. Sometimes church people forget that we are servants, that we are servants of God, servants of Jesus. Some people even believe, and some people even preach, that Jesus is their personal errand boy, that Jesus will be our personal errand boy. Not so. Jesus came to serve, but He is not with us just to run our errands for us. What Jesus is calling us to do, as I understand it, I said this is a hard passage. Jesus is calling us to be a willing servant in God's kingdom. God is the master, and we are the servants. But Jesus did something great in regard to this. He took this role, or this servant role, to a higher level. And that's what I find in John 13, where Jesus comes in himself and kneels down and takes a basin of water and a towel and washes the feet of the disciples. He identifies with the servant. Now that's something to me, that Jesus, the Creator, God in the flesh, the Son of the living God, born to the Virgin Mary, He came in and took the role of a servant, identifying with the servants. But also, in Matthew 20:28,
He proclaimed, I came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. So Jesus, if He can be the willing servant, and if He has redeemed us from all that is bad and all that is wrong and redeemed us unto the glory of God for eternity, He has a right to call us, to challenge us, to give us an opportunity, if you will, to become servants. He took the servant role and identified with the servant, but also proclaimed more than once that He was here to serve. And it's to serve or to minister Himself. But He went a step further. Jesus didn't just quit. He just wouldn't quit, would He? John 15:15. Jesus said, I will no longer call you servants, but friends. I will no longer call you servants, but friends. Does that mean we don't have to serve anymore? We don't have to. But doesn't it make us want to? We're fellow workers in the kingdom. We are friends. To me, that sheds a greatly different light on our relationship with Him. Jesus has reached down here to earth, where we're messing around in our garbage, baggage, and He has lifted us up to a higher level. He has elevated us, if you will, while He still can demand of us and be right. I see Jesus as giving us opportunities to serve Him and to serve in His name. I see Jesus inviting us to join Him in His work. And I see Jesus even abiding in us and working through us, using our hands and our feet and our mouths, our person, to be to His glory and to His honor. Working through us. How do we become His friends? Through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Faith is another word for believing. By believing in Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in this Son, Jesus, shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Faith is another word for trust. Trust in Jesus. We're going to sing a song. And it's 446. And let's stand together. And maybe you would desire, it may be that you desire to accept Jesus' invitation to be His friend this morning. 446. If you'll respond to that, you come here to the altar. If you're not Jesus' friend and want to become His friend, come here to the altar as we sing. 446. I will serve Him.
Please be seated, all except
Bill and Roger and Steve and Ed. Would you come and join me in the altar? As friends of his, and incidentally, we have a church in Sherwood, Arkansas, with the name Friends of His. As friends of his, Jesus invites us to eat from his table. I invite you to hear these words where he institutes this supper. And after these words, please be in a meditative spirit as Savetta plays a beautiful piece for our thoughts and our meditation. So hear these words. When he had given thanks, he took bread. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And then he went out into the garden, prayed all night. Early in the morning he was arrested, or late that night, betrayed by one of those who had gathered with him, and went to the cross to pay for our sins, that we might know forgiveness, experience forgiveness. Be free to come into the presence of God. Amen.
Savetta. Are invited to eat and drink from his table. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We come this morning thanking you for the bread that reminds us of his body broken for us. Amen. And we thank you for Jesus, His blood shed for us, for the remission of sin. Thank you. Amen.
Say to God, take my life and let it be. Number 379, verse 1, please. Please stand.
Lord God, thank you for calling us to be your servants and making us your friends. In Christ's name, you are dismissed.
Thank you. Thank you.